Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, joined by 2016 champ Richard Jefferson and 2008 champ and finals MVP, The Truth, Paul Pierce. Coming up, guys, we're going to play the what if game. We'll explore what would have happened if the 2004 Lakers had done what they were supposed to do and get over the hump against the Detroit Pistons. Do Kobe and Shaq stay together longer? That game's replaying tonight on ESPN, so stick around for that discussion. But first, Steve Kerr did a conference call in conjunction with the University of San Francisco and acknowledged the Warriors are operating as if their season is done. Kerr said, quote, "It feels like the end of the season for our team. It just does. We don't know anything officially. There's still a chance the league could ask us to come back and play some games. But given what we went through this season with all the injuries and the tough record, it's been more the case we're just staying in touch with guys, everyone just assuming this is it." So, Richard, this isn't the first time Kerr has said something like this, but he sounded much more final about it. And, of course, the Warriors are eliminated from playoff contention anyway. But would it be fair to the other teams who still think they have a shot at the eighth seed in either conference to just, as he is suggesting, freeze the standings as is and just go straight to the postseason?
Well, the funny thing about Steve Kerr saying that they're operating as if their season was over is this interview was actually done in November. So,
Richard Jefferson, come on.
Since November, their season has been, understandably, he's talking about the injuries to everyone on their team and what they've been through. But yes, their season was over in November. So I don't view them as a team to really, kind of judge this on. I really think that, if you're in the eighth spot, everything that we've seen is unforeseen. The smaller of a group, like if this would have happened right before the NBA Finals, we would have been able to pull off the NBA Finals. The more you expand, more people, more teams, the harder it's going to be to have an actual postseason or an actual season. So I think it's smart to shorten it to the postseason. That's where we're at right now. Shoot, if it keeps getting smaller, let's just have the Lakers and Bucks play for the NBA Finals. I think that's what we should do. Just keep shrinking it.
No, I think the
Clippers and some Raptors, some other teams might have something to say about it. Well, do you think it's okay to freeze it with just these eight on each side?
No, I don't think so, because you got teams right there at the bottom, the Pelicans, Portland Trail Blazers, you know, they could possibly get in. And so, you know, you have to, I know there's probably like 15 to 16 games left. Maybe you shorten that to see if some of those teams have an opportunity. But this is what the excitement of the end of the season is all about. You know, when it comes down to those final seeds, to where you're jockeying for a position, for you're fighting for a playoff chance. And that's what made the end of the season every year so exciting. I remember on the Celtics team, we were jockeying for a 3 or 4 seed. We decided to take a 4 seed in 2010, and that meant the world for us in making it back to the finals.
I like that. Decided to take the 4 seed. We pretend that doesn't happen in the NBA, but guess what? It happens all the time. Guys, I do need to switch gears because I want to talk about what's on deck for episodes 5 and 6 of The Last Dance on Sunday. That's on 9 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. Filmmakers are taking us on a deep dive into the 93 finals between the Bulls and the Suns, MJ versus Barkley. Remember, Charles earned MVP that season, but the Bulls took the series in 6 games, and take a listen to Barkley telling reporters why he thinks game 1 decided the entire series.
I regret that I wasn't really aggressive in game 1 when I was watching The Last Dance. Michael said the exact same thing. He says, you know, we were really passive, and the moment was too big for us in game 1. My only regret about that series is not being game 7, being like, hey, screw this. I'm not waiting on you guys. Y'all better follow me. So I have to blame myself for game 1 in the finals, for us being passive and me not being aggressive. Hey, let me just tell you something, though. I don't even know why people watch this Last Dance thing. We know how it ends. Hey, I'm pretty sure the Bulls going to win a championship in the Last Dance.
Dude, Chuck, people watch the OJ series. We knew how that ended, too. I'm just saying. Richard, you grew up in the Phoenix area. How big a letdown do you remember it being for the Suns to lose that game one despite having held home court advantage and watching the Bills go on to win?
Well, I think the letdown is everyone believed they had hope. And obviously MJ went on to average 41 in that series. It still is, I think, stands as a finals record. So Charles Barkley coming off an MVP, having a great team around him, that was huge. But I think everybody knows, it doesn't matter if you're a Utah fan, a Cleveland fan, you just always had in the back of your mind that you don't know how the Bulls and Michael Jordan were going to do it, but you knew they were. So it was a letdown, but you were more of just trying to see how you were going to get let down.
Yeah, you know what? I really respect Charles for the fact that he was being honest, but this opportunity doesn't come around too often. And as an MVP player, you have to set the tone. And you know, being that he's been a great player all his career, made All-Star, finally won an MVP, finally got on the team at this stage in his career where he had an opportunity to win, you can't take a back seat or play a different type of game at that point. You know, we know you're going against Michael, and the consensus had the Bulls probably winning this finals anyway, but you got to go all out from the start. And as a leader, as an MVP, you got to set the tone.
Will be interesting to watch all of this unfold in Sunday's documentary, just like the rest of the world. Even though I know how it ends, I can't wait. All right, coming up, I'm chatting with CJ McCollum about a potential tournament for the eighth playoff spot in the West. Maybe that's better than just calling it right now. We also talk about his performance when Damian Lillard was injured earlier this season, so much more. First, though, it's time for today's Distant Replay. This is brought to you by NerdWallet. Take a look.
Inside in front of the Wizard defense and then thrown away. A thrown away pass. Jackson all the way down the floor to Kobe. Reverse slam dunk. A 360 turn in the air. If he misses that, it's going to blow off.
Oh,
that's
shit.
No time for that.
He was going so fast when he decided to do that. I thought he was going to be too far under the basket.
I did too.
He converted it.
Horn. Fisher, nice rotation of Bryant. Buckle up for Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant just sucked the gravity out of the target center. What a play.
He might have just injured that shoulder a little bit more. The windmill slam.
You realize how difficult it is.
Really rotating over and making it difficult for Nash to get down the lane.
Behind the back, Kane to Battier. 10 points for Battier on the assist by Jason Williams.
Clever pass from Jason Williams, showing you that he's got a lot in his bag.
The Jump is brought to you by Burger King. The 3 for $3 deal is now at Burger King.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name? Check. Birthday? Social security? Is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag. Done.
GEICO. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
I'm going all in on the all-in challenge.
Millions have lost jobs, and they're all in need of food and support.
This is Doc Rivers. I want you to know we're all in this together.
With one of the picks in the 2021 NBA draft, the NBA will select you.
Come to Austin with me.
Play against my five-a-side team. Please tell your family, your friends, everybody to bid.
Because I am all in.
Welcome to The Jump, CJ McCollum. Always so good to have you back on the show. And CJ, I've been so surprised. So many NBA players don't even have a simple hoop to shoot on during this shutdown. I'm starting every interview asking, what about you? Are you getting shots up anywhere?
No, I'm not. This is the longest I've ever gone without shooting. It's crazy because
when you buy a house in a city, you know, depending on where you're playing at, usually you try to make it close to the practice facility or close to the arena, and you have 24-hour access. I have the finger scanner. I usually just scan myself in when I want to go work out. And now that's been taken away from me, so I've been kind of reevaluating my circumstances in the situation.
We don't know if the NBA is going to be able to come back, but if it is in some way, your teammate Damian Lillard said there should be a play-in tournament for the eighth seed, since it's unlikely you'd get the chance to actually play out the rest of the full season, compete for that eighth spot in a normal way. What do you think?
I think he has a great point. As someone who's on the outside looking in, obviously being a ninth seed, you know, 3.5-4 games out, we had 16 games left to kind of, you know, make a run. We had a lot of guys that were hurt that were supposed to come back. Actually, the week the season was shut down. So I wouldn't mind playing in a, you know, single game elimination or a best of three or whatever the case may be to qualify for the eighth seed.
You know, Memphis fans with their team in that eighth spot right now are going to argue with you. You don't deserve a play-in tournament.
Yeah, they're going to say you already played 60 games and you had your chance, and we still had 2 games left against Memphis, which is funny. You know, basically whoever would have won those two would probably automatically be in.
You said recently that you were worried about the guys in the league who live paycheck to paycheck, quote unquote. You said they might not be able to deal with not getting some of their money during this shutdown. Can you explain to average Americans how any NBA player could find themselves in a tough spot considering how much even minimum level guys get paid?
Yeah, I took a lot of backlash for that. Basically, I was saying is that a lot of players are young. They don't have a lot of knowledge on how to handle money. They're in that, you know, years 1 to 4. They are still trying to structure budgets, kind of figure out, you know, how to live as an NBA player. So I'm not saying that the rest of Americans and the rest of people out there aren't actually living paycheck to paycheck. I'm saying there are some NBA players who are depending on checks right now because they're still learning about how to spend money. They're still learning about how to invest and are taking care of a lot of people. And since we've only been paid 60% of our salaries for the season, missing 25% or missing, you know, consecutive checks could be costly for a lot of rookies and younger players.
You got a lot of attention also because you did one of those Twitter things where you list your first 5 jobs, and some of them were pretty normal, but you also said you worked at the clothing store Abercrombie and Fitch, and then you put "don't ask" in the tweet. I'm asking, CJ, were you one of those guys at the front of the store without a shirt on? What happened?
Yeah, I had a shirt on. I mean, I had a couple buttons unbuttoned like I was in Miami, but so I worked there during the school year as a, I don't know, model, I guess. So basically you're in the front of the store, you know, you're helping people, making sure no one runs off with anything basically. And that was it. You know how much I love my mustache. They made me shave my mustache off.
Man.
And that's when I knew I wasn't going to be working there much longer. And it ended in a hurry. I wasn't fired. I just stopped going in.
Well, you know that people during this quarantine period have some time on their hands right now to be super creative. I want you to check out this picture posted on Reddit. This is what you and Dame would have looked like on the Blazers 77 championship team. What is your reaction to seeing this pic?
It's crazy. Looking at the haircut, first and foremost, the haircut is off the chain. The shorts are super high. I really like it though, honestly. I like the look, but just looking at the, like, Dame looks crazy with his haircut and the little connecting mustache. And I got pork chop sideburns, kind of similar to what I'm growing in now, but thicker. I like the look. I like it a lot. It's definitely 70s.
This could be you. Just saying. You and Dame play so well together, but when he was out injured this season, you put up some serious numbers. You averaged 33, 8, and 5 per game. We saw what Bradley Beal was able to do this season with John Wall out, and Brad has said that he absolutely wants John back. I want to make that clear. But he also definitely said that he enjoyed getting a season to be, quote, the guy. Do you think you would want that?
That's a good question, and I got a lot of respect for Brad and John. They're two incredibly talented players. Brad showed a lot. People got to see he can play make. People got to see that he can lead a team. He can score. He can do all those things. And I think in spurts, I've been able to show that. And obviously, when Dame plays, the way we play is different. You know, everything starts and kind of evolves around him, as it should, because he's a multi-time All-Star. He's the best trailblazer that ever played a game and will go down as a Hall of Famer. So I think I've enjoyed both roles, honestly. But I'm just more about winning at the end of the day. I know what I can do. I know what I'm capable of. I know what type of numbers I could put up if I had my own team. I know that I'm capable of doing those things. But I think it's important we continue to learn and figure out how to coexist so that we can become as great as possible together and win the championship.
I like it. CJ, thanks so much for being with us. And everybody, look for CJ's podcast. It is a great listen. See you soon.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Coming up, SportsCenter at 5 o'clock Eastern with the PTI guys joining the show. And we cap the day with another SportsCenter, SVP at midnight Eastern. All of that, though, is following our weekly look back, some of the most significant games in NBA Finals history. Lakers Pistons from 2004 is replaying on the channel at 7 o'clock Eastern. Then we got Heat Spurs from 2014. And before you watch these games tonight, let me remind you that 2004 game marks one of the great upsets in NBA Finals history. A Pistons team, scrappy, without those flashy megastars, took down the super team featuring Shaq, Kobe, Karl Malone, and Gary Payton. The loss was enough to mark the end of the Shaq-Kobe era in LA. Shaq traded to Miami the following summer. But what if, Richard Jefferson, what if the 2004 Lakers had done what they were supposed to do, beat the Pistons in the finals? What do you think the ramifications of that would have been?
Well, they might not have traded Shaq right after they won a championship, but Shaq was on the clock. If you watch The Last Dance and you see that Jerry Krause and Jerry Reinsdorf were both trying to sell high, they wanted to rebuild while they had Michael Jordan. They weren't going to pay Scottie Pippen. So we've seen this over time. And even that moment in time was only, you know, it was only, you know, 8-9 years later that this Shaq and Kobe situation happened. So I believe that ultimately Shaq was going to end up someplace else relatively soon.
Man, you know what? I truly believe if they won that championship, you got to bring that team back to compete to see if they can do it again. And then think about it. That would have been a four-peat. When the last time a championship team won it four times in a row, not since the Boston Celtics. And then a lot of legacies were on the line. You know, how would we had a view Kobe? He could have possibly been the MVP of that series. How would we view Karl Malone today? Because Karl Malone is one of the greatest players to ever play. But will we view him as a top five or even a top 10 player after winning a championship? There's so many what ifs in that career. And then do we view this team as being one of the greatest teams ever assembled? When you look at the resumes of the four Hall of Famers on that team, Gary Payton was once considered probably the best guard in the league at some point. Karl Malone definitely was considered the best power forward, Shaq the best center, and Kobe the best two guard, all on one team. So it was a lot of legacies on the line if they had won that championship. You just have to wonder, what if?
Yeah, I mean, the Spurs won a title in the middle there, so it wouldn't be a four-peat, but you're absolutely right about Karl Malone especially.
Oh, you're right.
Right?
That's right.
Because the way we think of Karl Malone from a basketball standpoint would have changed if he had a ring. There's so many different things that if you watch this game tonight, the stakes are crazy if you think of L.A. winning instead of Detroit. But, of course, our friends Chauncey Billups and the crew, they were the ones who pulled that out. And Rasheed Wallace, the only player to be traded mid-season to be a starter on the team that the same year wins a title at that point. So that was big for him as well. I want to move on to what happened in the NCAA world because five-star recruit Deshaun Nix decommitted from UCLA, guys. He plans to sign with the new G League Pathway program. He told the LA Times, quote, "It was the right thing for me because of my family, myself. Playing in the G League is basically getting me ready for the NBA draft. It's just one step below the NBA. And this morning, the NCAA's Board of Governors responded, basically. It says it now supports allowing college athletes to sign endorsement contracts and receive payments for other work, provided their schools are not involved in the payments. Now, the final step remains 9 months away to make this official, The Board of Governors recommending it basically means this is what's going to happen. So, Richard, we're looking at the G League program putting pressure on the NCAA to do something they didn't want to do in the first place, pay NCAA student athletes. Do you think there's going to be pressure not just for this name and likeness thing, but to start to pay them outright?
Well, look, that's what's going to happen, because what you're doing, first of all, congratulations for the G League, and to offer a kid $500,000 and to provide school if he doesn't make it. So let's say he only plays 3 years and he wants to go back to school. There is money set aside for him to go to school. The real issue here is that you're saying that kids can make money off their likeness, but the schools can't be involved. Okay, fine. So then how does that happen? Are you going to have all of these random people reaching out to these kids, reaching out to their parents, having them sign contracts to endorse a sneaker company, or having them endorse a paint company down the street? Like, you don't know. And so you can't just open up the floodgates and say kids can make money off their likeness without regulation, without a plan, what you can do, what you can't do. And I know that that's coming, but just to say, oh, they can make money off their likeness as long as the schools aren't involved. Well, show me how that works. Show me an example of what is okay so people know how to go about. Because last thing you want to do is have a kid show up and then have them become ineligible because the rules weren't clearly defined.
Yeah, this is a whole lot of pressure on the NCAA, especially considering the day and times we're in during this pandemic. You know, a lot of these kids' parents probably can't even go to work right now. So you have to think about that. And you have an opportunity to go somewhere in this D-League program, make six-figure salary, get some endorsements. I mean, it's a lot of pressure on them right now because of the circumstances that we're in currently. And then we don't even know what's going to happen come this year as far as college sports.
Right.
And so if you're telling me I can just go to the D League, and we don't know if the D League is going to play out, but currently kids are signing endorsements. We know, as we saw Jalen Green sign an Upper Deck deal, and so he'll have money in his pocket.
Absolutely. And look, the NCAA didn't even want to do this name and likeness thing. They fought it tooth and nail until the California legislature forced their hand. Now they're rushing to do it to try to compete with the G League. It will be interesting to see how it unfolds. Let's get back to the NBA because – well, if the NBA had regulations like soccer, the Knicks would actually play in the G League. But instead, today, sources confirming our Malika Andrews, the Knicks will be keeping GM Scott Perry for another year. Perry's current deal was set to expire this Friday. New Knicks president Leon Rose lauded Perry in a statement to the media, saying he looked forward to building a winning team with Perry. He called him well-respected. Paul, smart for the Knicks to keep Scott Perry as GM.
Well, I think you have to start off with just trying to find some consistency. And, you know, when you change constantly all the time, it's hard to create a culture. It's hard to create a winning environment. So, you know, when you keep someone around long enough that can create some consistency, I mean, it's moving in the right direction. I'm tired of seeing new coaches, new GMs all the time for the New York Knicks.
No, I agree. Scott Perry, every interaction I've ever had with him has been a positive one. He's a man that cares about players. He cares about the game of basketball. I am not surprised that he is so well respected, because that's been my experience with him. So I think this is a good move. You want some stability, especially with so much changing going on right now. The last thing you'd want to do is start the process. Keep somebody there that kind of knows how things work, and I think that'll help their transition.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point because we don't know what these next 6 months are going to look like. So if you brought someone new in, they couldn't even have face-to-face discussions with the players right now. It is a one-year contract, though. We'll see how that goes. All right, guys, we are out of time. Jump is back tomorrow. Thanks for joining us today.
See y'all.